Green beans, tomato, lettuce, ham, ram, and dog. Come on now. Some of you get that. Some of you are like, what is green beans, tomato, lettuce? Green beans, tomato. No, it's lettuce, tomato. Green beans, lettuce, tomato, ham, ram, and dog. Oh, that was so much fun. Holy crap. All right. It is the 12th of April, 2021. It's Monday. Holy shit. Welcome in the Eric Zane Show podcast. Comes to you from the Baldwin Ace Hardware Fear Bunker Studio. And it begins now.
This is Sexy Voice Andrea, and you're listening to the Eric Zane Show podcast. Now with 50% less kidney. Still with 100% of the only organ that matters. I hope it was good for you.
Cut it off. That always embarrasses me. I always get embarrassed. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast. This is a really dumb daily show where I cover news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. We are heavy on the personal adventures today. Okay. And thank you so much for being part of it. Show comes to you, of course, live at about this same time, about 8 a.m., Monday through Friday. Right here, and live streamed on Facebook. Facebook brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. Please like it. Please share it. All that fun stuff. Comment away. I can see all the comments. I try not to focus on them too much because they tend to distract me, but sometimes I just can't help myself. Twitter, that's a Periscope video brought to you by Blue Frost IT. If you could retweet it, say something rude, that would be fun. And, of course, the almighty YouTube. Search Eric Zane Show on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the bell notification. Thumbs up and off we go. And, of course, the audio podcast available shortly after I get done creating it. It's basically just save it and post it. Zero editing. Just boom. Unless there's something really dramatic or stupid, I'm pretty much just going to throw it up there. Sometimes if I stop during the middle of the show, play a music bed, and go take a leak, that comes out. But that's what I do, and I've been doing that this way, doing it all this way for, just over 2 years. So, all right, seems to work, and we'll keep doing this for as long as we can. Please support the sponsors. I appreciate that. They appreciate you. Without them, there is no free podcast. All right. So there you go. Thank you so much for being part of this. Got a number of things to talk about today. It was a very, very busy, eventful weekend. Thank you to all of you for checking this out. All right. Let me get right to it. Let me explain to you how my brain works. If I am simply going along business as usual, on any given day, everything's fine. But if in my head I get the notion that I need to throw something out into the world via social media, if it's of the nature of the DMX post on social media on Friday, I swear to God, I have that internal battle going on in my head. And it's you probably shouldn't do that. It's just a, you know, you're kind of like kicking a hornet's nest, and I don't know how much good that's going to do anybody if you do that, and you probably shouldn't anyway. I'm not kidding you. I hear all of that in my head when I do this bit, when I like, hey, go ahead, do it, be an asshole. I'm not kidding you. It actually happens. That was the it was that same voice that told me to give the kidney away. And I know that that's very like, oh my God, that's like, it sounds almost supernatural. It almost sounds like God's talking to you. Now, I actually believe that. I actually believe that God is talking to me. Okay, now, some of you might just say, well, that's just your conscience. It's just, you know, it's your internal struggle, your internal. Yeah, I know. To me, that's God. So, all right, I flat out believe that. So God says to me, no, hey, man. Look, I know that guy was a troublemaker, but leave it alone. That's way over your pay grade. Just let me handle that when he gets up here. And that is so not your lane. And I'm like, no, seriously, I got this. Let me do it. And he's like, no, Eric, seriously, I wouldn't, man. Everybody's going to get pissed off. There's a lot of people that are going to be upset with this. And you already got enough on your plate. You don't need to be dealing with that. And I'm like, no, hey, seriously, I'm in charge. Hey, you just take a back seat. I'll take care of this. So I did what I did. I posted, rest in peace, my ass. And then I listed the shit he done, animal abuse, robbery, drugs, whatever this guy, unpaid child support, 15 kids by 9 women, which, by the way, is just prolific. 15 kids from 9 women. Wow. All right, so I did all that. And I didn't feel a damn bit bad about it. Fuck no, man. The righteous Eric, he's got to put everybody in place. There you go. Here we go. So I did that, and then I let everything unfold. And, you got the usual mix of, hey, way to go. And, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. You're such an asshole. And I did not care. I did not care. And I felt emboldened. I felt the power. I felt great about this. I was so happy with this performance. I'm not kidding you. I really felt strongly. And then I'm like engaging people and attacking the one. Well, I never wasn't really attacking them, but I'm like engaging in conversation with some people that are pissed. All right. So this all happens. I go to bed. And I talked about this. Some of you may have seen my podcast with Mike Logan. You're like, hey, and how did that happen, by the way? I'll explain that too. And I wake up on Saturday, and I'm still in it. I'm still in the fight. I'm like, yeah, you know what? We'll take this. And I'm just firing off these things. Okay. And then this happened. I picked up my pal Jason. We're going to go to an AA meeting. Now, he's very new to the 12-step program. Now, one of the things that is involved with this is the tenets that make up the program, you're going to end up living them in your day-to-day life. It isn't just to keep you, because if you go ahead and change your ways and stop consuming substances that hurt you and cause you trouble, the way you do that is by following these steps. And these steps have to do with your whole life. Okay. If I go and am able to beat alcohol, but then I'm a total cock, asshole, idiot for the rest of my days, that's called a dry drunk. Okay? Because your dickheadish behavior now, it's actually worse because you don't have any excuse to say, oh, I was shit-faced, man. What the fuck am I going to do? So you're really discussing your character flaws on a regular basis, and you're kind of like, what I talked about this with Mike. These meetings have a tendency to really expose the problems. And right away, remember that scene in Star Wars when Obi-Wan is like, I sense a disturbance in the Force. And when Alderaan blew up and he's like, oh, shit, oh, fuck, there's a problem. That's what I'm feeling in this meeting. I'm like, because everything. These meetings are so great. They always like make perfect sense, and it's always like they really center me and fix me, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not just there to like help my pal Jason. I mean, these help me. This is very, very important. So I'm like, shit, fuck, oh man, I did it. This is bad. So then I've got other people in the meeting talking, and I'm deleting tweets and pissed off shit that I'm saying about this whole thing that I was just telling you about while the meeting is going on. I'm like, fuck, this is terrible. What an asshole. Dirty delete. What an asshole I am. Holy shit. Fuck. So then while I'm doing that, I noticed one of the replies is from Mike Logan, comedian. Now, Mike has been trying to build his name on a national level. You hear about him for sure in West Michigan. But so, all right. Now, I have been at odds with him in the past. So to see him weigh in, I'm like, uh-oh, this is. And Mike is very thoughtful, okay? And I see he posted that GIF. You know that one GIF where the black guy is at the party holding the drink and his hat is to the side and he's got that look on his face like where he kind of rolls his eyes like, uh-oh, you know, and then walks away from the problem. You've all seen that. And I'm like, oh, shit. That's speaking to me too. So, all right. I get out of the meeting and then I tweet. Yeah, I slept on it, and a couple things have just clicked in my brain. I think I fucked up. I'm going to address this. And then he tweets back. This is all public. He tweets back something, and then I tweet at him. I'm going to go. I'm in the parking lot of the 12-step, of where the 12-step meeting is. And I go, I'm going to address this. I'm going to talk about it on the podcast, but I'm going to go home on a Saturday and I'm going to get in front of the camera and I'm going to fucking break it down, man. Do you want to join me? And so I go, all I need is your email address. We start to DM each other. Okay. Drop off Jason, go home. I'm like, oh man, fucking hey, this is ugly. This is really a mess. What the fuck is wrong with me? And I sat down with him and we had a really nice conversation. A lot of good happened here. I was able to kind of like tell you, you know, what I'm telling you now. And I've had even more time to think about that. That's why I'm starting with this now. I at 50 years old, nearly 51 in July. It's shit like this. And there were some people that were saying, Eric, you should have stood by your words. It's like, well, no, you might have stood by your words. But I know for me, I was having that internal struggle. And that's all I can be concerned with. I can only be concerned with me, and you should too. You should be worried about you and you only. And I quickly realized this in my meeting. And it's like, well, yeah, you fucking dummy. It's so I was just fucking wrecked. I just felt like such an idiot. I apologized. I still apologize. That was horrible, terrible timing, terrible point of view, way out of my lane. It's just ugly. Just fucking ugly. You know, because I remember when Imus died and people were indicting Imus. And I said, this is wrong. He has died. You cannot say that. So completely hypocritical, just fucked. Oh, my God. You know, I don't know why that happens. I am such an imperfect, ridiculous, stupid, idiotic soul. I just will kind of pick up the pieces now and be on my way. Excuse me, I'll see myself out. Fuck. So that was that. I will say that the conversation with Logan was great. And that might be something that I wonder if he's up for. Just, kind of like a deal where we sit down every so often in the same setting and just basically talk about shit going on. You know, that gives me an opportunity to have a little more flexibility. Sometimes I get pretty lonely here just talking to dogs and four walls, so that might be fun. So we'll see. In the end, I think there's a lot of positive things that worked out from that. But, yet another example of when I do not like to listen to that voice in my head. Sometimes I do. Sometimes, a lot of times I don't. That was one of those times. I'm not going to beat myself up over it. That's just where my mind was. I just wanted to share that with you to start. Hang on. Okay. The weekend. In addition to that, there was a lot of things that happened over the weekend that I want to get into for the rest of this show. All right. Not the least of which, my time on WATP. Who are these podcasts? All right. This was, okay. So I sat right here. You, open the Discord and then they hear your mic and then off you go. You start the show. Carl does the show live on the Discord app. Okay. You're like, what the hell is that? I know. Well, the show happens live on Saturday for a number of people that actually enjoy it on the Discord as it happens, which is cool. And then he posts it on Sunday. If you don't know, I'll just quickly recap. I discovered the podcast last summer. He still thinks that I intentionally did this, but I did not. He still thinks I wanted him to talk about me, but I did not. Upon listening to his show where he reviews other podcasts with a kind of like a revolving door of guest hosts and regulars and things like that, and they play the audio of podcasts and then they riff on it. They have fun with it. They critique it. It's harsh criticism. Holy shit. And I remember listening to it, and I'm like, boy, this is right up my alley. I love this. I was in Tennessee on that trip last year when I discovered it by accident. When I got back from the trip, if you remember, I talked about it on this show. I then was deathly afraid about this podcast somehow being featured on it. That's all it took. I mentioned that, and one of the audience members approached Carl about it. I did not know this. In the meantime, I actually took the audio of when I was bragging about Carl's show, how much I liked it, bragging on his behalf, and I sent it to him because, A, I thought it'd be nice to make a friend, and, B, I thought it would insulate me and keep me from fucking being hammered on that show. Did that help? No, because when he did Jocktober, he reached out to me, and he goes, hey, Eric, this is Carl from WATP, and if you remember, if you go back to listening to the show, I was like, oh, no, holy shit, he's going to talk about me. He's going to rip me a new one. And so all that week, you remember the anxiety. I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. This is going to be ugly because I am extremely, extremely sensitive about what I do. As, you know, Blue State Rob said, it's not the best, but it's still better than radio. I mean, I know my limits. I know what I'm capable of. I know what sucks. I know I don't have anybody. It's just fucking me. So how good could it possibly fucking be if I'm just some idiot talking for extended time into the ether, into the world, talking to himself? So I'm fucking freaked out for a whole week about this shit. And then him and Andy light me up. And I remember, I actually right now, if you were to ask me, what did they rip on specifically? And I think, and I have a hard time actually saying that. And what that means to me is it wasn't that bad. They weren't as brutal as I would be to me. You know, you're your own worst critic. But they did light me up. In fact, a lot of shit that they recommended or beat me up about, that I'm like, ah, they're fucking right on that. Holy shit. And then one of the things they beat me up about was having sponsors, which is not something you beat someone up about. In my eyes, because this is how I eat. So, all right, you know, I do. I work very hard at selling the shit out of this show, as you all know. It's why I have all these signs behind me. But whatever. It allows me to keep doing the podcast. I'm like, if that's the biggest insult, that I've sold sponsorships of the podcast, well, fuck, guilty. No problem. So, all right, they do that. At that time, since he reached out to me via email, we started dialogue and kind of slowly but surely getting to know each other. And, it kind of just grew on its own, no big deal. And it was just a couple of weeks ago that Zaniac Mark in New Orleans, who I turned him on to Who Are These Podcasts, he says to me, you should ask Carl if you can be on. And I swear to God, I said, well, there's no way. I'm, you know, poo-pooing it. I'm like, I don't think that would work. And so getting done with that text message from Mark, I then immediately, within seconds, email Carl. And before I have time to even write anything back to Mark, Carl has written back. And he goes, yeah, all right, hey, that sounds good. Why don't you join me on April 10th? The April 10th recording. I'm like, what the fuck? Are you serious? So right away, I'm nervous as shit, you know, and I reach back out to Mark and go, hey, dude, he's going for it. He says he'll let me do it. This is fucking great. Now, you got to understand, this is really an interesting story to me because it's very, very different. Carl does a show once a week. He does another podcast called The Creep Off, and he's very active on other people's podcasts and things like that. Very different than what I do. I do daily show, and, you know, it's not that different than what I would do on a radio when I was working in radio, and that was what I set out to do. But my show is much different because I have the radio audience who follow me, and then you pick up this group of people, and there's not a ton, but there's enough, okay? And you set them down, and then here you go. You've got a podcast. Not everybody doing a podcast has that luxury, okay? And my show is also one that, I'll be honest with you, I don't see rapid growth. I see slow, steady growth, okay? It's not like a roller coaster going uphill with the audience picking up, then, wow, it's big. It's kind of like they're there, and then slowly but surely people find out about me. Carl's show is much different. He started with nothing. That's harder. And then to slowly build it up, his show is 10 times more popular than something I would do. And so that's great. And that's something that someone should be very proud of, because where I had this big pop of audience, well, big for me to start, he's slow. He adds new people all the frickin' time. Okay. So that's cool. And that's a great story in itself. And when I've talked about him on the show, I mean, occasionally he's on here with me. Well, sometimes that's even come up. So he has that to fall back on. He should be very, very proud of that. And I think he is. I hope he is. All right. Well, he says, yeah, man, April 10th, it's going down. And then the whole Zumach thing had been developing as like a sidebar. And he goes, you should address the Zumach thing. You should break it all down. And so I'm like, okay. Now, I didn't want to be like Chad, okay? Chad is such an asshole. Now, that doesn't mean he can't turn it around one day, but he really is an asshole, more so than I ever have been. And so to highlight him in all his madness and the odd way he works was a joy. And so there's that element to it. And there's also the element of the podcast we were reviewing, Carl, Andy, Eric, called Let Me Tell You Podcast. And by the way, I've tweeted out how you can listen to this show. If you like me in an ensemble cast, this is what this is. And I need to stress this. It felt excellent to be in that setting. You know, here talking to four walls and dogs and a camera is fine, but now you're in this team mode, and it's been a long, long time where I had, it's sure I do it once a week with Ben and you guys, but this was different. It was a different vibe and completely apart from what I do right now. So yeah, man, it was fucking fun. I sat right here. There's no camera on you when you do it, but it is live. So, and I was super nervous. I haven't been nervous doing anything in front of a microphone in years. I was nervous for this. I could actually, listening back to it, you wouldn't be able to tell, but I could tell nervous energy. I could hear nervous energy when I listened back to it. But there we were, doing our thing and reviewing the show called Let Me Tell You Podcast with Jamah Jones. And now, the show on WATP, it usually the first group that you first show that you talk about or roast is usually really shitty. And Jamar, it's tough to say it was shitty because he's so damn lovable. This dopey, stupid innocence of this young man who is just the silliest motherfucker you're ever going to find. He just does not give a shit about anything and just talks about the dumbest shit, and it makes hardly any fucking sense. And, you know, you're like, what the fuck is going on here? I sure do love this dumb son of a bitch. And he's just stupid. So, all right. You know, that was fine. It was a good time. I don't have, when we're finishing it up, I don't know if this made the cut. But Carl said the people on the Discord who are making the live comments seem to like you. And he says, that's not always the case. And I'm like, well, you made my day. And because I worry about what people think very, very much. And I said, anyone who tells you they don't care about what people think is lying to you. I really care about what people think. So I'm like, oh, thank God. I just didn't want to make an asshole of myself. And I'm very, very happy because it didn't seem like I did. And that's huge for me in terms of my mental health and my well-being, because I listened back to that show yesterday and I'm like, oh, fuck, that joke sucked dick. Shit. Oh, no, I'm dead. I'm ruined. I'm going to throw myself out of the window. I'm a terrible human being. I'm such an asshole. And I'm the worst critic of myself. I can't stand it. There was parts when I was listening to that show when I knew there was a joke coming that kind of went flat. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm like 15 seconds forward, 15 seconds. I can't hear it. I don't have the strength or the energy to listen to that joke fucking bomb again. So, all right. The Zumach thing. I talked about it. I didn't want it to go down the road of, yes, he's an asshole. Yes, it was, with great, I had to dutifully, and viciously knock him down about 10 pegs, and he deserves every bit of that. But I actually hope, in a way, I feel bad that these people who get murdered, like Opie and John, and in this case, Zumach, by me, because he hasn't gotten really a lot of grief from a lot of people, and I think that this was important. I wish you fucking idiots would listen to this shit. I wish you would learn to roll with it, and maybe your fucking shows would get better. I didn't take everything to heart when they ripped me a new one on that show, but I took some of it to heart, and it's made this show flow a lot better in the best way that it can. So, but I'm just shocked at some of the displays of people in what they do, whether it in their content creation, what they put out there. I think one of the things that stood out to me, which I didn't think it was going to, I didn't even think about it until it actually happened, that we're going to talk about Opie. But hearing what that guy does on a regular basis, is he so rich that he just says, fuck you money, and does not give a shit about how it sounds or how it looks? And I'm like, well, that can't be, because he puts out enough content, none of it any good, that... how the fuck are you letting yourself get away with that? Because this is a guy who's been around radio forever, and he knows what's right and wrong. So what happened to you? Here you're in your mid-50s. Did all of that knowledge lose your brain? I mean, leave your brain? I don't understand that. That was very, very strange to me. Listening to him kind of go off about, and there was actually one point in the show that I went back and listened to Opie's show. He did a rant about radio, okay, and how it stinks. And though he was like way over the top about it, because he's like really mad about radio because his pal who works in Buffalo got fired in a stupid way, which I have a thought about that in a second. But that part of your show actually I thought was pretty interesting. Now, it kind of got off the rails later because it just, you know, you sit there talking to all the people that... on the comments or giving you shit, which I do that too, and it's tough not to, but you do it too damn much, okay? And I do it too damn much. The guy he's referring to is a dude in Buffalo, who's known as Bull. Is it Rob Gansler? I think that is his name. I'm not positive. Do you remember I was telling you about the Buffalo radio station where they were talking about toast? And then the one guy, the comedian Rob Lederman, I don't think it's Rob Gansler. I think it is Gansler, but I don't think it's... Anyway, Lederman, he said, yeah, man, I like my toast like I like my women, so I don't want Serena Williams toast. I want more of a Halle Berry mulatto. And then the lead guy on the show, the Bull guy, he goes, okay. Kind of like, oh, no. He didn't say anything other than, okay. Okay? And then the lady on the show, she says, yeah, what about a Gayle King or something like that? Well, the comic got fired right away. And then there was a statement that was released by the Buffalo Sabres. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. This comic also was work for the Sabres? No. The Sabres right then and there fired the guy who said, okay, who didn't say anything. What? So that's weird. And so he just happened to be in the room when the comic Lederman, if that's his name, said what he said. So that's icky. That's very, very strange that they would do that. Odd to me. But then all the rest of the crew was like suspended. And then Cumulus came back this past week and fired all the rest of those people and their boss, the program director. Which is, this is messy. In my mind, the guy Bull, who just said, okay, like, hey, wrap it up. This is a lawsuit. He should absolutely explore suing Cumulus over this for wrongful firing or whatever the term is. And then that whole show should. Well, maybe not the chick who said Gail King. That might be enough to get you fired. And then the program director, this fucking guy gets fired too. I don't understand that. Unless, here's the thing, though. Radio stations on the regular will always look for an excuse to eliminate expense. Always. If they are pushed to a point where they think, ah, we can just get away from this, we can break ties, we can throw somebody on in the morning who just plays the hits and says, that was, this is, here's the weather, here's traffic, more music for your workday. And put somebody in there for $31,000 a year as opposed to whatever the cost of the morning show is, plus their parking, plus their insurance. Oh, my God. Their 401k. You better believe that they're going to do that. You very, very rarely hear any good news about radio entities these days. It's kind of a mess. So that may be what's going on there, but what the hell do I know? Just from my pedestrian view of all of this. So, all right, that was a weekend, man. That was a fun ass time to be on that show. I'm just very, very excited that they reached out to me. And you know what also has happened? I don't want to say it right now because it's kind of cart before the horse, but some really, really nice people who are influential, who I had kind of like fingers crossed that the right set of ears would hear WATP. And you know what? They did. They really did. And so I got some acknowledgement from some very, very important people who are into content creation, who reached out to me and said some really nice things. And so that's all I'll say about that. All I can say is that you made my night and you frickin' put some wind into my sails. And when you're a schmuck like me, that type of validation goes a long way. I'm validated every single day by the fact that you're here enjoying the show and you subscribe to the Patreon and all that shit. But these are outside people who don't know who the fuck I am, really. If they do, they haven't really heard what I do. So in this type of forum. So made me very, very happy and was quite a refreshing thing. And for Zumach, fucking listen. Would you just shut up and fucking do a show, okay? Quit picking fights with everybody and work on what you know how to do. And shut your mouth with all these people that you attack on a daily basis. You'd probably have more friends. You probably wouldn't have the problem with Kreischer. You probably wouldn't be sitting there with hardly any gigs at all in Florida, and you'd have a podcast that doesn't suck tons of dick that you put out more than once every 3 weeks or so whenever you feel, and you don't have to sit there and indict people about the stupid fake documentary. My God, what a pain in the ass you are. Write a bit, fucking dummy. Okay, other than that, I love you. The live streams of the Eric Zane Show podcast in all of its glory, brought to you by key sponsors, of course, TC Paintball. TC Paintball, thank you, Rick, for the sweatshirt that you sent my way. I appreciate that, the hooded sweatshirt, which you see right here. In fact, Wednesdays are very, very big at TC Paintball. That is Kids Day. Kids leagues are open. Little leagues for the 8 to 12-year-olds at TC Paintball in Grand Rapids with the low-impact equipment. And this is the thing where you just pick up and go. You don't have to, like, make a big deal about it. The check-in starts at 5 p.m. They would like you to pre-register by just throwing a phone call their way or emailing them. All their information is available at tcpaintballgr.com. So the kids aren't going to get welted up when you're playing paintball, and they're going to get a feel for the game. If you got one of those kids that kind of stays in the house all day playing video games, this might be for them because it's kind of like they're living a real life video game. It's great fun. I know that Bleeding Heart Brian just brought his kids over there, and they all the neighborhood kids for Jelly Ball over the weekend. That looked like a great time with all of them. Thank you for doing that. Wednesdays is also the Teen League for the young people up to 18 years old using the traditional equipment, and maybe those 8 to 12-year-olds can graduate to that, okay? Check-in starts at 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. Play starts at 5:30. Again, please pre-register by calling or emailing. No weekly commitment needed. You just show up and give it a try. We have Paintball War number 14 happening Sunday, May 16th. I see that Kevin Kuypers just reached out. To say that he was going to be there in hanging out for Paintball War number 14. That should be fantastic. Looking forward to that.
No more beer. No more beer for Kevin. I'm fucking hammered.
Thank you very much. And I want more of you to reach out to me.
Fuck off, I'm hammered.
Eric at ericzaneshow.com. If you want to go, we've got a handful of commitments. I do actually need you to send me an email. You cannot raise your hand in the chat of the live stream. I usually don't see that. Send me an email if you've done so already for the next Paintball War, Sunday, May 16th. That's cool. If not, please reach out. It's $35. Normally it's $48. You're going to save a ton of money, and you're going to have a ball. All right. Where the hell am I? Irvine's Auto Repair Grand Rapids Hybrid, which frickin' Carl made fun of. He goes, yeah, this is the point of the show when Eric would talk about the mechanics. Yeah, shut up! Irvine's Auto Repair Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV, 616-532-6600. Get your cars repaired there. Domestic, Asian, European. Irvine's Auto Repair Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. If you are in West Michigan, they've got customers all over the area. Because, you know, if you have a car that is that needs work, I mean, the one thing you want is the trust. And Irvine's, you can trust them. If you don't believe me, go to Irvine's.com and look at their Google reviews. Okay, now that's tricky. Because if anything goes south, you know how people are these days. They're not going to reach out and try to, like, get it solved. They're just going to go and say something shitty online. You know, that's their pound of flesh that they're looking for. Well, in that business, to have as many reviews that they have and still maintain nearly a 5-star rating is spectacular. And if anybody does get in the weeds and they say, all right, here you go, Irvine's, you suck. The folks at Irvine's are very, very quick to respond to that. And then you'll see the, well, all right, let's solve this. Let's take care of this issue as quickly as possible. And they do that. They monitor that to make sure all of their customers are very, very happy. That's great. I am a big fan of the Google reviews, even though sometimes if people get kind of a wild hair, can screw things up for the business. That is the great equalizer, okay? The consumer has the power. You have the power. The consumer has the power these days. Irvine's Auto Repair Grand Rapids Hybrid. All right. Against my better judgment, I am going to look at the comments. All right. Don't look at the chat. Don't look at the chat. I'm going with the most recent first. Good morning, Jason. Good morning, Kate. I can't pick anything else up. Kent writes. By the way, look at O'Neill on his back. You see, this is what I get in the weeds. This is what Carl makes fun of. Kent writes, Kent, drop the E, add a U. Writes, DMX was good at three things. One, rapping. Two, impregnating women. Three, being a deadbeat dad. It's hard to argue with that. All right. Thanks to everybody for being there. I appreciate it. Spread the word, please. Okay. I saw that Sarah Rukruk-Rutch tweeted out. She saw a tweet, she retweeted it with quote and aimed it at me so that I would see it. And that is a tweet that pertains to the show Making a Murderer. Does the name Kathleen Zellner ring a bell? Zellner is the pit bull lawyer who she's made a career out of getting people who are wrongly convicted freed. She was the focus of Making a Murderer 2, which, by the way, the first one was amazing. And then the second one came around and I'm like, oh, well, this is there's no way this is going to be any good. I mean, what could we possibly have learned? I'll tell you what we learned. You know, like in the first one, there was those two lawyers for Stephen Avery, those two guys who then went around the country touring. I forget their names. Everybody, after watching Making a Murderer, thought that those two were good lawyers. Well, after watching Making a Murderer 2, which focused on Kathleen Zellner becoming the lawyer for Stephen Avery, we learned quickly that those two lawyers were shitty. They were horrible lawyers. Zellner made that painfully clear about how inept they were when she was building the case for Stephen Avery. Now, after watching that show, I'm like, fuck, how can he possibly be kept in prison after this? And it's really, really strange to me because you have in a court of law, a jury and that convict Avery. But in the court of public opinion, probably more people think that he should be exonerated. There's all sorts of contrasting points of view about his innocence or his guilt on other documentaries. And I guess it's up to the viewer or the listener or whatever to kind of filter out whatever noise and try to decide for themselves. After paying attention to all the other counter arguments about Avery and about Brendan Dassey, I believe that he is 100% innocent. And Brendan Dassey is also 100% innocent. He's just a fucking patsy, that guy. The whole thing is fucked. And so I believe 100% that Stephen Avery and Brendan Dassey should be out of prison. But I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? If this is the case, what the hell is taking so long? So I'm often wondering what I don't know. What if this is so obvious, why is it, what's going on here? Zellner tweets out last night, if you haven't watched the show, none of this makes sense, and it's very difficult for me to frame it. But just know this. This guy Avery, it appears, if you watch the show Making a Murderer and Making a Murderer, the follow-up season, it's really tough to think that he had anything to do with this murder and that it's really easy to wrap your mind around him being framed along with Brendan Dassey. Like a flat-out conspiracy theory framing. Like something in the most wild whodunit mystery novel you will ever find. Of all the television shows I have ever watched, starting with Making a Murderer 1, no television show has ever pulled out more anxiety and desire to binge than this show. Because I'm usually very, very busy, and to get me to commit to watching all right, let's watch the next episode, you really got to be on to something. And I couldn't wait to hit skip intro next episode. I mean, it was that compelling. Really, really, really incredible. And man, I kept getting pissed off. Just like, how in the world can this possibly be? Same thing with season 2. Zellner, the lawyer, writes, tomorrow you will find out, which is today, who planted Teresa Halbach's RAV4 on the Avery salvage yard. What the fuck? Hashtag truth wins, at making a murderer, at EF Moriarty, don't know who that is, hashtag mystery solved. Now, I will say this. The one thing I was able to pick up about Zellner is I just kept getting the vibe that she's kind of a, there's a little bit of boy who cried wolf when she says something, because she's done this before on social media about, oh, hey, the truth is revealed coming up tomorrow. And it just feels a little like, you know, I'm watching the fucking Jerry Springer show sometimes when she talks about this. So I'm a little bit worried about that. Because if this turns out to be nothing, if it's just her pointing a finger with no evidence, you know, that does that chips away at the, I think that Stephen Avery had nothing to do with it vibe that I oftentimes feel in this. So I'm very, very anxious to see how this unfolds. Okay, this is what I need to do. And this is funny because on Who Are These Podcasts, Carl had to take a leak too, but he busted out Jamar Jones. But I'm afraid that if I bust out the Jamar Jones song that is burned into my brain, that I'm going to get a YouTube, Facebook, Twitter ticket, and then everything will be muted. So I'm just going to bust this out for you. I'm going to bring up the graphic that Eric has to take a pee. Where is it? Back in a minute, taking a pee. And then I'll do just that. So you guys talk amongst yourselves throughout your Making a Murderer theories, and I will be back momentarily. How does that sound? Join the puppy dogs. I'm fairly certain, I don't know anything, that there is a COVID-related issue on my old show, the Free Beer and Hot Wings show. I should probably mention this too. Somebody on the Reddit thread, they have a Reddit thread, I have a Reddit thread. Nobody goes to mine, nobody posts anything on mine. Somebody wrote, Zane mentioned he thought the friendship was rebuilding, but then fell apart. And I had mentioned that on this show. And so that got to a little bit of speculation on their end from whoever this person is on Reddit. And I don't remember noticing any Zane bashing on the show recently. Was it on segment 17? So then they're talking about it, and I was monitoring it. I'd be lying to you if I said I don't look at this. I look at it often. Who doesn't? Everybody does. I'm just the only one who'll admit it. I usually talk if I feel like I need to interject, and I did feel like I needed to interject. After Kilroy_1541 wrote, because none of these comments, to me, warranted me to defend myself. Kilroy_1541 wrote, Zane can think all he wants of FBHW still not liking him. He caused his own demise and could have gotten the whole show canceled multiple times. It's all very true. At least from what I remember of FBHW telling the stories on segment 17. I've heard once or twice in Zane's own podcast him throwing shade at Freeburn Hot Wings, and once was even secretly against himself for Freeburn Hot Wings playing the "Oh, you mean anal" drop. So he's not an angel by any means. Felt pretty hypocritical. And I say once or twice to mean the very few times I've sampled his podcast out to see if it's any good. So I felt the need to weigh in, and I did. And I wrote, you're right. Hey, I don't disagree with anything of what you wrote, but here's what you don't know. Greg and I established contact when life got real for both of us. Progress was being made. I returned all of their property and expressed a real desire to simply be able to get the relationship cordial. The hope that maybe once in a while we could share a meal, maybe a cup of coffee, nothing major. That's it. Things were progressing nicely. Nice words were offered when my mother passed. By Greg and Steve, and it felt good. I was happy with that. I communicated to Greg how sad I was about the divorce. Greg reached out and was super kind about the whole kidney donation. He was concerned with my well-being. I reached out when Connie passed. At this point, I had no desire to say anything negative about any of them. Progress! Bear in mind, it had taken 5 years for this all to happen. Then, in January, they went back to dunking on me. That was it. Everything was out the window. Now I'm not interested. I've not said anything bad about them since. It just caught me off guard, and I decided there's no point in wasting my time anymore. See ya, Eric. So then all these guys said, well, you know, I've listened to every second of every show, and there is nothing that was said. Okay, look, you see, now you want to know what actually happened. Just know this. What you hear with your ears, you don't know these people like I know these people. I know them a million times better than any of you, okay? So there's so many different nuances that you are not aware of that there's no way you would have any way of telling that I am being talked about. You know why? Because they're very, very guarded jabs. They're very, very, very polished. Which makes them even more hurtful because they're only done with the intent of one person of hearing them and knowing that it's happening. Me. That's the point. It's done not to further the content or make the bit more entertaining or do what they do. It's done through the radio because they know I listen. To do just that to me, make me feel bad. And it did. So there's no point in bringing it up anymore. There's no point in trying to fix, you know, going back and fixing what was damaged. It's pointless at that point because you would not believe the long list of conversations I had been having with Greg. It was quite exceptional. I was very, very happy with it. It started out rough. Make no mistake, it took a lot to get it to where it was, but it was happening, and I was happy with that. A lot of nice words. Here you go. It starts way. I don't want to share it with you. I don't want to read the direct personal things that were happening here. But take a look at how long I'm scrolling. This was going on a lot. There was a lot of give and take, and a lot of growth happening. So when it went down the road that it did, I said, there's no point. It's over. And maybe I should have known that ahead of time. I don't have anybody to blame but myself, honestly, because I kind of put myself into that position. But still, that had been happening. So for anybody who is listening on that subscribes to their Reddit, just know it did happen. I'm not going to go and start to dig up all the bones of the particulars of it, but it did happen. And of course you're not going to know about it because it wasn't direct. It wasn't intended for all of you to pick it out. It was intended only for one person to pick it out, me. So that's where I stand on that. But the reason why this all comes up isn't to sit there and on the pity pot and say, oh my God, my feelings are hurt. It's that has nothing to do with it. The reason why I brought up that show is because there is apparently, from what I'm understanding, and I can only know by what I hear, is that there's a COVID issue going on there. They posted on Friday that out of an abundance of caution, There's no show Friday. And it was weird because Joe and Kelly were still there, but that was it. Those are the only people there. So I don't know what's going on. And today, same thing. They're not there. So I wonder what the hell is happening. Very, very strange. All right. That would be weird. You know, because Michigan is on fire right now with COVID. And I have some thoughts on that coming up about it, about COVID, which I kind of put a little thought into. I'm looking forward to explaining that with you. All right. So this weekend, I wrote this down as dodging bullets for the Sunday adventure with the NFK. My wife's brother, my brother-in-law, Kevin, he lives with us. And, you know, every day there's always something interesting that happens with this guy. I cannot say this, that he is special needs, but he has some special needs. We have to drive him from point A to point B. I mean, he doesn't have a lot going on. I mean, the television, he sets records every day for television viewing hours. And, okay, you know, outside of ruining my toilet with the Hams beer shit howitzer and watching hours of TV, he's very well versed on everything going on in the world. He has to be. If you watch 14 hours of TV a day, he's like a walking encyclopedia. Okay. So, but then on the weekends, typically he has to go to the store. And this is a good thing that happens because this is where he basically pays for his stay in my home because he buys all the damn groceries. So I buy my week's worth of groceries, which is basic food that we're, you know, going to eat around the house. And he buys all these frozen dinners and stuff that's going to end up mixing with the Hams beer and wind up in my toilet. We all know this, okay? And you know about his brain surgery. You know about he had a lobotomy, which you think, oh, my God, what the hell? Yes, he actually had a lobotomy. And they removed a portion of his brain that was damaged from epilepsy. So with the epilepsy, years of grand mal seizures, all the medicine, the lobotomy, you know, he's a little cooked. He's a little cooked. And that leads to, you know, you have to remind him from time to time about various things and, you know, and whatever. We're adapting there in the living arrangement. The other day, I opened up the microwave and his, you know, he doesn't clean up after himself at all. But some things I just can't let go. If he's making hot dogs, he gets a frozen hot dog, two or three of them, and just sets them in the microwave. You know how like you have that thing that spins around, that big plate, and so you put like whatever bowl with your food in there on that plate and it spins around? Well, that's the point of that thing. It's so that your food can spin. It isn't another plate. He just takes a fucking hot dog and puts it right on that thing that spins. And every time I go in there, I'm like, what the fuck? And I open it up, and there's all this hot dog jizz, like dried onto it from heating up, and the hot dog blows up all over the inside of the fucking microwave. And I'm like, hey, dude, do you heat up frozen hot dogs in here? Yeah, fuck yes, I love them sons of bitches. Everything's a swear word, if you don't know. Everything has these inappropriate swears and over-the-top exaggerate. Yeah, I love them motherfuckers. Okay, hey, well, you got to put it on a plate and you got to cover it. Oh, okay. It's like, you fucking knew that. You absolutely knew that. Do I have to explain this to you? I've had to explain to him about cleaning shit up off the fucking toilet seat when the Hams beer shit howitzer goes off. But holy shit. So, all right, there's that. So, I go, Kevy, you're getting low on food. You want to go to the store? Fuck yeah, man. Fucking shit, yeah. And so, all right, we go, and he, you know, when we're walking to the store with the way he, you know, I described his walk, he looks like if Penguin and Frankenstein had a baby to give you Penguinstein. That's how he walks, because his knees don't work quite like yours and mine because of neuropathy. So he's like stumbling along, but he's got like a Green Bay Packers sweatshirt on, a crew sweatshirt, and he tucks the fucking thing in. And I'm like, Jesus, Kevin. Don't tuck your fucking sweatshirts in. But I didn't have that heart to tell him. And his belly's, it's like, just. So he looks, okay. He looks like somebody who, you know, you might see him at the group home or something like that. And he's walking with me and we're putting shit in the basket. And He gets to his favorite aisle, the frozen foods, and he's struggling for space with this lady who's got one of those scooters, and she's 100 years old, and she can't. She's trying to navigate between the NFK and with the No Filter Kevin and another shopper. And I go, and this is gonna work bad because she's gonna hit Kevin, and he's gonna kick her ass. So I'm like, "Late, ma'am, can I help you get? Yes, I need the Stouffer's." I help her. All right, we get the shit. Off we go. We're on the way home, and he goes, "Oh shit, fuck." I go, "What is it?" He goes, "I need some grizzly." And he's from, he speaks with a southern accent because his parents are from Kentucky. "I need to get some grizzly." I go, "Oh, okay, yeah." He goes, "Can you run into the gas station, give me some grizzly?" I go, "Yeah, sure." He goes, "All right, motherfucker." And he gives me his bank card. And so I'm going to go in there, buy the grizzly. He goes, "I need 4 tins, wintergreen, long cut." Shit, fuck. I go, "Okay, buddy, you got it." I get out of the truck. I go walking into the place. And then I go walking up to the guy. I go, "I need 4. And I tell him. And then I go, I reach my pocket, and I don't have a card. I don't have the card that he gave me. So I go, "Cancel that. I'll be back." I go walking out. I go, "Hey, man, can you give me that card? Or did you give it to me?" He goes, "I gave it to you, motherfucker. Holy fucking shit. How the fuck did you?" I go, "Okay, hold on. Don't panic. I'm sure it's somewhere. It couldn't have gone far." So when I was in there for a very short amount of time. So I'm checking my fucking pockets. I'm looking all around on the ground. And then he gets out and he's wandering around. Penguinstein is kicking around the parking lot looking like a homeless vagabond. Fucking looking on the ground. I'm like, "Oh, shit, this is terrible. He's going to wander in the road and get greased." I go into the store and there's like a line of people now. Everybody's staying far apart from each other, you know, I walk up to a random lady. I go, "Have you seen a bank card on the ground?" And she goes, "I did." And I'm like, "Oh, what?" And she goes, "I gave it to the guy." And I go, "Oh, my God." And then the guy goes, "Is this yours?" I go, "Oh, my God. Yes, thank God." Can you imagine if I lost the NFK's bank card? Holy shit. Okay. So, all right. Perfect. Wait in line. Get the grizzly. That's it. Put that to bed. Nothing further about that. Just a bullet dodged, okay? That's a terrible feeling. You ever lose that thing? Oh, my God. Whew. Very, very scary. Thank God somebody turned it in. Okay. Now, this next part of the rest of this story, I am mystified by, and I can't believe it happened. And it's another example of dodging a bullet, okay? That was one with the card. This is even bigger. We pull into the driveway, open the garage, go and I give him some of the groceries. I take a bunch of the groceries. I walk into the house with him. He starts taking them out of the bags. I turn around to go back out and get more. I'm approaching this. We have this mud room, okay, this door, and it's attached to the garage. So if you go into my garage and then open this door, you're in the mud room. I'm walking to walk out of that door. All of a sudden, that door open. Someone has opened the door. And I'm like, "Oh, I wasn't expecting a visitor. It's either Jackie or Jim or Madison." But Madison's with mom, so it's got to be Jackie or Jim, right? The door opens, and then in walks Benny, the one-eyed wonder dog. And I'm like, "What the fuck is going on here?" And then the door closes. So I quickly realized Benny has been outside, unbeknownst to me. And someone's letting him in. So I take 2 steps. I look, and it's my neighbor, Etta. And I go, "Etta, how are you?" And she goes, "Oh, hey." And this happens from time to time when my dogs escape. She's always the one. She's kind of like the cul-de-sac mom, okay? And she's always out with her kids doing mom stuff. I go, "Thank you. Was he out?" She goes, "Oh, yeah, he was in the cul-de-sac." I go, "He was?" She goes, "Yeah." I go, "Oh. Okay, let me back up a little bit. When I pulled into the driveway, Kevy and I look, and on the lawn, there's feathers everywhere. Something terrible has happened to a bird, and there's no carcass, but there's feathers everywhere. Now, we used to see this all the time when we had that cat, Buddy Bobcat Face. But I'm like, I don't remember any other neighborhood cats being in the area. What the hell is going on? You know where this is going, don't you? Okay, after she tells me Benny's been outside, I'm like, did I walk in with the groceries and he walked out? Was it that quick? Because I walked in, set him down on that island, turned around and started to walk out, and then Benny walked in. In that amount of time, did he walk out, she see him, bring him back? I said, that is not adding up. I am fairly convinced he has been outside for hours. And so then I start investigating, and there's other neighbors that are out doing, you know, Sunday afternoon shit, playing with their kids, mowing the lawn. I go up to this my neighbor, Brian. I go, hey, man, have you seen Benny, like, wandering around out here in the last few hours? He goes, oh, yeah, he's been hanging out. I go, what the fuck? I have no idea how this dog got out. And I'm flat out amazed that he just hung out. He just stayed in the area. And then Etta sees him and goes, Benny, come here. And he's such a skittish. He's like, he came right up to her. I'm like, what the fuck? She lets him in the house. He had been outside that whole time that we were shopping. The whole time wandering around the neighborhood. Oh, my God. He could very easily be gone right now, which would have devastated everybody. Oh, my God. So then I'm like, okay, well, thank you. And then I bring him in, and I'm going to examine him now. And I want to make sure that he hasn't. And, well, I think I know what happened. I'm pretty sure he ate the bird or did something with it. And then he either rolled in the remains of the bird or found something really gross to roll in, because his fur is like armor now. It's no longer soft. It has a glaze of bird crust on. He's fucking killed the bird, and he must have hit the part of the bird that the shit comes out or something. And then, not only am I eating this, but I'm going to roll in it, because he's got like this disease sheen on him that has turned into a candy shell of shit and bird gut. And I don't know about you. I'm not kind of ashamed to admit this. If I get something fucked up on my hand, I always sniff it. Okay. I'm kind of like a monkey. And so it's on there, and I go, oh my God. And I sniffed it, and I went, I'm like, holy fuck. And I'm like, Jesus, what do I do? So I close the door of the laundry room that Benny's in. He's just looking at me like, oh, I'm sorry, I did such a bad thing. And I'm like, no, fucking shut up. Jesus. So I scrub my hand, and then I have to go and immediately give him a sponge bath in order to get the smell off. It was the worst. I'm like, what is going on here? So, holy shit. I washed him. And then I just counted my blessings that he was not dead. Oh, I felt so terrible about that. So, note to self, pay more attention to your fucking dog.
Super fucking hip.
Oops, I'm doing this wrong order.
He's Benny the Wonder Dog. Benny the Wonder Dog. Benny the One-Eyed Wonder Dog.
Yeah! Yeah!
Benny the One-Eyed Dog. Benny the One-Eyed Dog. Benny the One-Eyed Wonder Dog. Super fucking hippie. Take a shower, hippie. Smell of shit, hippie. Dirty fucking hippie.
So that was my day. Holy cow. Hey, if you want your business talked about on the podcast, please reach out to me, eric@ericzaneshow.com. I can put you in front of thousands of people each and every week via my Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the audio podcast. I would love you to be a part of it. All you have to do is drop me an email, eric@ericzaneshow.com, on the Shoreliner Striping inbox, and I'll just tell you how it works. That's no commitment on your part, and it's pretty easy, and I can get anybody into some type of marketing plan. Just like my pal Joe Martinez at A&E Heating and Cooling, which I mentioned on Who Are These Podcasts. Joe was the guy that fuckface Andy called and said, yeah, I'm here in Rochester, New York. Can you come and work on my furnace? Asshole. 616-516-8579. If you are in West Michigan and not Rochester, New York, you call up Joe to get your furnace or your AC serviced. In fact, the AC tune-up is on sale all throughout April for $69. It's going to save you $10. $69 before you turn on the AC, have Joe check it out. It's well worth the $69 because, first of all, if that condenser isn't cleaned every year, it's not going to work at the efficiency that it is designed to. That means the machine will work harder. Your energy bill will go up. You want that thing efficient, you'll save yourself cash. My AC is like 30 years old, and Joe got that thing humming at 89% efficiency. Now, because he measures, he actually tells you how efficient it is. That's saying something, because those old ones, they don't run nearly as well if you don't get them serviced. But Joe got that thing humming. Do it once a year. Get your air conditioner serviced, A&E heating and cooling. Wait a minute. I'm getting that mixed up with my furnace. He tested the furnace, and it was running that efficient, which is a super old furnace, mine is. Anyway, 616-516-8579. $69 for the AC tune-up. Call Joe. Mention me. You get the sale price. Of course, I'm working with Gift of Life Michigan, trying to get more and more people signed up on the donor registry to give the gift of life. You can get more information on their website, which is linked up to mine, ericzaneshow.com, in the top sponsor scroll, Gift of Life Michigan. Now, I've been talking about when you click on that and join the organ donor registry in Michigan. It's a fairly simple process. Well, it's now complex because it was linked up to a spot with the Michigan Secretary of State, who Gift of Life is commissioned to do this work. And nobody told Gift of Life Michigan that the Secretary of State changed their link. So it's all jacked. So I can't tell you to go do that right now. Just know that when the time is right, when I tell you to join the organ donor registry so that in the unlikely event of your untimely passing, you can save 8 lives by harvesting those organs and change the lives of 75 others with tissue and cornea harvesting, which just sounds gross, but that's the way it is. And if you ever hear or feel that gnawing pull that you would like to donate an organ, like a kidney or a liver, reach out to me, because I did that, and I can walk you through of how not a big deal this is. I am living proof that this is no big deal. I'm a huge pussy. And if I can do this, you can do this. So if this ever strikes you as something that you'd like to do, or God forbid someone close to you needs a kidney, and you have some trepidation, some concern about this, you got this. Okay? I am here for you. And you, by the way, don't need to have, if you do decide to donate a kidney one day, a living donor, you don't have to, like, have someone to do it to. You can just donate it, and you will save someone's life. You will actually do that. That's remarkable. But, I kind of leave it there and let you decide for yourself. And if you ever need info, eric@ericzaneshow.com. I can walk you through that process. All right. And then there's my pals at Cornhole America. Holy cow. Cornhole America, building professional cornhole boards. Business is booming at cornholeamerica.com. Go there, search Eric Zane Show on their search field, and you will see the Eric Zane Show podcast, Cornhole Boards. Now, yes, I was quite a bit younger in the picture. I look like I'm about 30. I wasn't. I was about 40 because I dyed my hair. I look like fucking Count Chocula. I look like an asshole. But cornholeamerica.com is a website if you want a set of pro cornhole boards that will last forever. You can put anything onto a set of cornhole boards. And if you are in West Michigan and you want to do a fundraiser for, I don't know, somebody in your neighborhood is sick, somebody's on hard times, whatever it may be, you want to do a fundraiser for them, reach out to the folks at Cornhole America about how you can have custom boards for your money-making event. You can actually raise a ton of money. So then what you do is you go ahead, they make the boards for your event. Your event, you people, for your cornhole tournament, they put the tournament on for you. dozens or hundreds of people sign up for your tournament, pay the cash. That's the fundraiser right there. Reach out to them about doing that. Thank you, Cornhole America. So just the other day, I was reminded about something that my dad did. My beloved father, the star of Dear Meathead, 87 years young, who I'm really annoyed that I cannot go and see him. The hockey team that I work for, the Grand Rapids Griffins, has pretty much like 11 games between now and the end of April that I of course am working a part of as PA announcer and TV host. And so it's really consuming me for the next half a month to a month. I can't go and see my dad, and I miss him terribly. He is vaccinated, and I'm nearly vaccinated. So he can see me now. So I just am dying to see him. But I was reminded of a story about my dad that I know you're going to love, which just sounds like him. Some of you might be familiar with a device that you can have installed on your car. I don't even know if it's a thing anymore because I guess it would be. You can install on your vehicle a tracking device. It's called LoJack. My dad has had this on his vehicles. He, in fact, installed LoJack on the Embellisher, the truck that I have. And it's a subscription. You, like, sign up for it or whatever, and then in the event something terrible happens, you say, hey, some asshole stole my truck. And they go, all right, well, it's, and they can tell you where the truck is. It's a tracking device. Okay. So my dad, not only on the truck that I have that I bought off him, did he install LoJack. He installed it on another truck that he had just before it. Now, he sold that truck to a dear family friend. Okay, his name is Mike Roskus. And I was reminded of this because I just happened to be like, I walked up to my truck and my dad, to kind of like deter thieves, he had printed off a little sticker that says LoJack on the side. Kind of like when you put on your house the sticker of the alarm company so that the bad guys know that the house is alarmed, that maybe that would deter them from breaking into your home. This is the same idea. And I just happened to walk up to it today, and somebody said, what is that? And I said, yeah. And I explained to them. So this popped into my head, and it's hilarious because my dad, he would put the sticker on there to, you know, deter thieves from doing that. He put it on this car, the truck that I have. But he did not put it on the previous truck. He didn't put the sticker on there. And the reason why he put it on this one is because somebody said, hey, yeah, Dad, it's a great idea. Okay, so he did that. Fast forward. This guy, Mike Roskus, buys the truck, the old truck off my dad. And so that happened. We happened to go to a wedding of another family member, and I remember the conversation. It was me, my dad, this guy, Mike, and another guy named Tom. We're just sitting around shooting the shit, and the topic of the truck came up. And Mike says, son of a bitch, man, somebody stole that truck. And my dad says, oh, my God, somebody stole it? And he goes, yeah, it was a few years ago. Somebody stole the damn thing. We found it like months later. It was completely stripped and it was destroyed. Now, the next sentence that said, if I'm my dad, you shouldn't have said it. Because he goes, wow, I had LoJack on that thing. And so right away, everybody puts two and two together because this guy, Mike, shoots him a look. And he's like, you did? He goes, yeah. And Mike goes, well, why the fuck didn't you tell me that? If I can add LoJack, Rob, that would have saved me a ton of problems. I could have. He goes, yeah, I guess I never did. I guess I never really thought about it. So my dad has LoJack on there. All he has to do is transfer the subscription. It's like pennies a month for this fucking thing. And this poor son of a bitch gets the thing stolen. A huge pain in the ass getting his truck replaced. Oh, my God. My dad. God love him. Holy crap. Dear Meathead comes up on Wednesday. It's a perfect time to tell you that Dear Meathead comes up. And if you want to, you can just reach out to me, Eric at ericzaneshow.com with a question for Dear Meathead. There you go. So thank you for that. I'll use that as a reminder that you can, in fact, participate with any question at all for my dad on Dear Meathead. All right. That brings us to the email of the day. This one is cool because it involves interacting with someone out in the wild. Email of the day is brought to you by Forever Lawn West Michigan, online at foreverlawn.com/WMI. Thank you to them. Synthetic grass for your business, for your home, kennel grass, maybe a putting green. Maybe you have new construction on the house and you don't want to have to deal with any grass. You can put synthetic grass in there. It's always really, really green and beautiful and vibrant. It looks just like the real thing, except you don't have to worry about it. Foreverlawn.com/WMI. So, yesterday, just before the incident getting the NFK, his tins of chewing tobacco, I was at a pet store getting some food for the dog. And I come around a corner and face to face with this tall guy with sweet curly lettuce, long hair on the back of his hat. Looks like an awesome looking hillbilly mullet. He's with his better half. He's got his dog with him and he does a double take and he goes, "Hey, Mr. Ten," or "Hey, Mr. Zane," or something like that. I'm like, "Hey, how are you?" And, you know, it's like somebody listens to the show, or maybe, I have no idea if it listens to the show, but he at least recognizes, say, "Hello, hey, how are you?" And it's a nice conversation. Okay. And then he goes and checks out. And then the lady who's checking him out at the pet store says, is your name Tyler? And she says, "Yeah." And he says, "Yeah." And then she says the last name. And then, okay. And then, wow, because they realize they know each other. She knows his brother, something like that. I take this guy and I look up his name and I go, "Okay, yep. All right. He does listen to the show and he's corresponded with me a lot on the email." So I go, "Oh my God." And I actually read one of his emails to him right there. It was a really funny interaction. All right, there we go. Then as he goes out in the parking lot, I realize he would love to take a look to his left as he's getting into his car, into the truck, the embellisher, there he would see the NFK. This guy, because if he's ever listened to this show, he knows about the hijinks that I've been through with my brother-in-law, Kevin. But I was checking out. I couldn't run out and say anything, and it would have been weird because my brother-in-law, he has no idea that he has a nickname. And so if you ever happen to see me out with the NFK, you cannot say, "Hey, are you the NFK?" Because he is not going to know what the fuck you're talking about. And then I'm going to have to explain it to him that that stands for No Filter Kevin. And he's going to be like, wait a minute. What's going on the show about me? He's not an idiot. So if you ever see me out in the wild with Kevin, you cannot utter any of these stories about him ruining my toilet, about him saying the N-word in public and giving the middle finger to frozen foods at Meijer. You cannot discuss any of this shit or else it's going to fuck it up and I'm not going to be able to talk about it anymore. So shh. Tyler writes in his email of the day, "Me whispering to my girlfriend, 'That's Eric Zane. This is the first time I've seen him in the wild.' Me out loud, 'Hey, Mr. Zane.' Me in my head, 'Oh, fuck, I'm not wearing a mask, LOL. Good to see you, my man.' I wrote, 'Bwahahaha. By the way, you missed it. The NFK was waiting in my truck. You were right next to a legend.' And he wrote, 'Oh, man, I should have gone and checked out the embellisher and given Kev a gentle hello. I would have been truly honored to be witness to an official bird flipping. To an official bird flapping of the arms, followed by being called the N-word by him.' And I said, 'Yes, he absolutely would have called you the N-word. He was in a terrible mood at the time.'" My God. Yeah, it's going to happen one of these days. That's why I'm scared to death of putting anything with his likeness on a T-shirt, because he's going to see that shit. And boy, that is going to blow his mind. Holy crap. All right, there you go. That's your email of the day. Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate that. Okay, folks, as you know, I'm on Patreon, patreon.com/Eric Zane, where I give you hours of content each and every week. I follow this podcast up with a daily bonus Patreon podcast where I do another 30, 40 minutes, a little bit more interaction with the audience. The Ben and Eric Patreon podcast is every Friday with a live Zoom audience. So much fun. That's a great time. I love that. That alone is worth the price of admission, but I also give you the Lost Zane recordings, the Insane Asylum, my music-driven radio show on Northern Michigan's Q100, the last great American radio station. And then, of course, Smarter Than a Former Drug Dealer Trivia, all there on my Patreon. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. If you'd be so kind, I'd love it if you try it out for $5 or $10 a month. If it sucks, cancel it. You get the rest of the month. If you like it, convert it to a yearly membership, and I will save you 10%. Horizon Hydroponics invites you to check them out online or in person for anything for any of your growing needs, whether you're growing tomatoes, marigolds, cucumbers, or the best cannabis in the world. These are the experts that can help you with everything you need for your grow, whether it's online or in person. Go to horizonhydroponics.com, and if you buy it online, orders $250 and more are free delivery anywhere in the USA. And if you use the coupon code ZANESHOW, you will save 10%. You can do that and pick it up, okay? That will be great because then, you know, if you're local and you aren't over $250, you can just go to one of the brick-and-mortar locations, pick it up, save the money with the coupon code, and you're all set. Lights, I don't know, tents, fertilizer, different soil mediums. In fact, I'm going to go and see John today at the Alpine store at 3 o'clock. If you want to see me do it live, we'll do it live. I'll be doing Growers 101 with John from Horizon Hydroponics at 3 o'clock today at the Alpine store in Grand Rapids. They're also brick and mortar at Byron Center's Growers Outlet, Kalamazoo, and Lansing. Horizon, Z-E-N, hydroponics.com. All right. One more thing I got to talk about. I'm titling it, How Do I Argue with Numbers for COVID? And I'll explain that coming up. And I have an asshole of the day. I need nominations. Asshole of the day, nominations, brought to you by JM Synthetics and TC Paintball. Who do you think is the asshole of the day? Could be anybody. Your nominations on the live stream. I will go back and review them quickly and add my point of view onto it, and then we will see who is the asshole of the day. But first, the last in the batting lineup is Mario Flores today, the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. So, all right. Let me go over some math with you. Your credit is good. You're paying on a 30-year fixed. You've got a, 3.85% percentage rate on the mortgage. You're 5 years into your 30-year term. Just by doing some simple math, on your home, let's say it's Let's say you paid $300,000 for it and it's been going up steadily on that mortgage. By the time you're done paying that off, you're probably going to pay about $185,000 to $190,000 in interest. I know it sounds crazy, but it's a 30-year mortgage. That's actually pretty damn good. If you convert that thing to a 15-year, okay, you're like, oh, my God, there's no way I could afford that monthly payment. Hold on. Credit's good. Convert that thing through my friend Mario to a 15-year. That 3.85 is going to go down to a 2.6 ballpark. Your monthly payment's going to go up about $400 a month. But over the life of that 15-year, you're going to pay about $55,000 in interest as opposed to the $185,000 in interest. Huh? Fucking beg, borrow, steal, work, do what you have to do to make that extra $400 a month. That house is going to be paid off in 15 years, son of a bitch. And then you've got all that money to play with at the end of the 15 years, and the equity on the home has gone through the roof, and you own the home. What are you doing? The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage, 231-332-6505. Now, not all of you are going to be in that boat. Some of you, your credit's in the shitter. That's okay. He can still get you into a mortgage, and you're going to start building your credit back because you're going to make your payments on time. Quit giving the money to some scam artist slumlord, for God's sake. 231-332-6505. Okay, I've been wrestling with this for quite some time. I do not know anything about COVID. I don't have any knowledge. I'm not basing it on, I'm not going to go and I'm not going to read what a million experts say. I am officially done. I am wiping my hand. I'm washing my hands like Pontius Pilate. I am done. I'm done trying to figure it out. I am done pointing the fingers. I will not engage you about it anymore. And to me, that comes with the crazy spike in my great state of Michigan. I have no explanation. I'm done trying to figure it out. I'm done looking like an asshole. I am not going to say one way or another because at the end of the day, I don't know shit. And I am committing to this for the remainder going forward. You don't know shit and I don't know shit. And anybody who says, I don't care who it is, if it's a doctor or a governor or some guy on the street, it is becoming abundantly clear that anybody who acts like they know anything about this is fucking crazy. Because here I am in a state that is getting vaccinated just like all these other states, and these numbers are through the roof. It's as bad as it's ever been. What the hell is going on? And I strongly caution you to say, well, this is what's happening. This is what's happened. This is what will happen. None of us know. From the smartest doctor to the guy in charge of the athletic direct, the sports, I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about, to me, to you. I will say this, and I have gone kicking and screaming, wanting to believe any of this, but I am a little concerned with the scapegoat being the kids' sports. Because, believe me, I want to react emotionally and say it's because of the kids' sports. However, I don't know that that can be said. And the reason why I bring that up is because, I'll just go from the article in the Detroit Free Press. The governor of Michigan has said, all right, I am suggesting that the schools take a couple weeks off, and I'm suggesting that sports take a couple weeks off. And there's an organization called the Michigan High School Michigan High School Athletic Association. And they kind of like oversee all the sports. Now, this guy who runs it, his name is Mark Yule. And I got to give him some credit. Okay, you know me. I'm going to read something. I'm going to kind of digest it and process it. It's like, how can we argue with this? Because I would love to throw this guy under the bus. I really would. But I don't know if I can. He said, nah, we're not stopping anything here. And then the average person might say, well, then you don't care about anybody. The state has always had a goal to be testing at a positivity of 3% and lower. So if you test 100 people, if it comes back, 2.95% of people of those tests came back as positive COVID. That's good. You want that. Michigan lately has been 17, 18%. You know, there was a time a month ago when it was 3, 4%, but something's gone haywire, and we don't know what. No one knows. But I don't know if you can blame the sports, because this guy has been testing these kids weekly, and his tests are coming back at less than 3%. Huh. Okay. So as much as I hate to say it, because I never like to agree with huge, because I don't like to agree with huge. I always like to disagree with huge. And I don't like to agree with this guy, Mark Yule. But he's saying, well, wait a minute here. I don't know if I can shut all this down because I am testing at under 3%. So wait, why? And it's very hard to ignore that, right? I mean, how could you ignore that? Yule was on Bally Sports Detroit, formerly Fox Sports Detroit, saying that spring sports student athletes are required to test once a week and that the positivity rate is under 3%. Well, that's really good. And now he is very close to being completely free of all indoor sports where they would all be outdoor sporting events. So I guess that does that make a difference? I don't know. We've been told it does. My God. I guess at the end of the day, I am committing to not knowing shit. And I, you know, if I had, here you go. You got it. White flag. I give up. I am done. I am not. You didn't hear it from me growing forward, because how in the world is this happening? And I don't have an explanation. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that were like, hey, I know what happened. You're going to point fingers too, but you don't know shit either. I think the one thing we can agree on is this is a fucking mystery. And I don't know if it's ever going to get solved. I have no clue. I've heard theories. Carl got all pissed off at me. I don't even know if that made the cut on the show, because Carl is on the other side of this. And he went fucking bonkers. He put on his MAGA hat. It was, and I'm like, dude, shit, this is a bad thing. So that was actually, I was worried about that. But I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So I'm done. I am not involved. I am not wasting another bit of energy going forward. Fuck all of this. I got to send this to Dirk. Thank you very much. I need to send this off right now to the live stream. It is the Eric Zane Show, Count Chocula separated at birth. And I need to, while I'm talking, rip this off of, I just sent it to myself so that I can post it on the live stream. Now, it's something that I haven't seen in a long time. Dirk sends it along and writes, how did I not ever see this? It's Eric and Count Chocula. It's me when I'm dyeing my hair dark brown. The idea was floated that I look like Count Chocula. Dirk found the picture during this podcast, and I will post it at ericzaneshow.com and in the comments of the audio podcast. But for those of you who are enjoying the live stream of it, I'm going to do this old share screen. Let me get rid of the chat overlay so that that doesn't eat up all the space. So I don't get yelled at by you guys. This is going to make a lot of, this is going to make your day. Okay. Application window. Where is it? Your entire screen? No. Okay. Hang on. I think that, yes, there it is. Look at this. It's unbelievable likeness. Eric and Count Chocula. You're welcome. I hope you enjoy that. I will post it away and you can enjoy that later on. The likeness is startling between me and the world famous Count Chocula. Thank you, Dirk, for sending that. You get a star on your forehead today for that. Oh, my God. What a great time. Okay. He writes, how did I not see this before? Shit. Okay. All right. That's enough of that shit. Asshole of the day. I nominate me for the DMX fiasco. Who do you nominate? Who is your nomination? Let's see. I see a lot of line up sheep, get your vaccine. Yeah, you know. Josh writes, tomorrow Eric will be an expert again. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, I'm done. I am so done. There isn't anything in the world that can make me take that bait. You guys, I'm no longer going to be involved in any of this fucking craziness. Okay? Megan says, no, you turned the DMX thing around. Well, I don't know then. Who's it going to be? Let me look at the notes of what we talked about today. All right. The DMX fiasco, we talked about that. I don't know if I can really commit to that. Maybe, I guess, if I can't find anybody else. It'd be a post-mortem asshole of the day. Zumach, you know, I don't want to pick on Zumach anymore. I feel like that ship has sailed and my work is done. So I don't know if I can necessarily say he's asshole of the day. Kathleen Zellner for getting me all worked up about Stephen Avery. I guess that could be tomorrow if what she produces about Stephen Avery is absolutely nothing. My dad possibly for... Now, that's an old story, though. We can't use that for the low jack. I am going to go with me for almost getting Benny killed. I can't outrun that. It's got to be me because I swear to God, I could have... I don't know. I would be so distraught if the dog got lost and we never saw him again. That is a real fear of mine. So there you go. I will take the lump for asshole of the day. And it's probably good because I guarantee you in this podcast, there's at least one person who thinks that I'm a huge asshole. And that's okay. That is okay. But all right, we're going to leave it right there. I appreciate you folks for checking this out. Try to do my best. I'll try to do better tomorrow. We've got the Patreon bonus coming up a little bit later on. And that's going to do it. Another one in the books, the Eric St. Show podcast. Thanks again, folks. Till next time, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.